and greetings in the name of Jesus from the Alturas, California congregation. What does a person do in a case like this to fill in other's shoes? Never done that before, I don't think so. And I was thinking about it as we drove in. We were thinking about it, my wife and I talking about it. This is going to be a little different. This is, what is it, the sixth evening you're out? The sixth evening. And so here we are. And but it's the first evening out for me this week. So what do we do? Well, we'll just do our best and I believe God can bless our best. Now, this is Saturday night, of course, and I was asking Brother Jason this evening how long the preacher preaches. Oh, he said usually Brother Steve closed, I don't remember, I think he was saying maybe a quarter till nine or something, everything was finished. 40, 45 minutes of preaching, something like that. And but he said, I think they'll forgive you if you go past 9 o'clock. And I said, oh, but it'll take forgiveness, right? But I think the way it's probably going to turn out is probably, as I look at my notes and what I think I have, probably we'll be closing a little earlier this evening, and maybe the maybe we can make a little bargain. Maybe you'll have to forgive me a little bit tomorrow. But probably, we'll see how this comes out. Probably I'll be closing service a little earlier tonight than you did the other nights. Being Saturday evening and you've had a long week, and we need to prepare for the Lord's Day, don't we, tomorrow as well. So, anyway, now, I don't know if you use the same Sunday school quarterlies as we do. We're using Rod and Staff's right now, and recently we had a study on Samson. Did you have that one? It's a different one. Anyways, the title of that lesson was Samson's Failures. Samson's Failures. And so we studied it and we learned from Samson's failures. But when it's all said and done, it kind of bugged me that the title was about Samson's failures, because Scripture calls him a man of faith. And so I decided right then that I'm going to preach sometime about Samson's victories. And so that's where I want to go tonight. And this is especially for the young people tonight, because Samson started out young. Well, they all did, didn't they? But I do not know how old he was when he died. Maybe someone has figured that out. I don't know what the Scripture says, but he judged Israel 20 years. I don't know when he began. So, and did it count the years that he, or the time that he was with Philistines? Probably not. So I don't know. Was he about my age when he pulled those pillars together? I don't know. But want to learn, especially for you youth. As I see it here, I think most of our youth are all on, out on that side and out this side, right? And so I don't know how old you are, but I might just ask you to just get a little picture of how old you are here. I'll leave the some of your older ones for tomorrow. But I'd like for, maybe we'll go ahead and do that right now, you young people. If you're in here as well, if you're somewhere between 12 to 16, could you please stand and show yourselves? 12 to 16. See, that gets down pretty low there, doesn't it? All right, just stay standing. Yeah, we have about a dozen or so. You may be seated. What about 17 to 21? I'd like to see how many of those we've got. 17 to 21. Really? You may be seated. Only two. All right, interesting. But I want you to learn from Samson tonight, all of you, everyone, but especially you youth. And let's see, where do we start here? Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and he is mentioned in just a list. You know, the chapter, we call it the chapter faith, or the heroes of faith in this chapter. Very beautiful chapter. How faith moved Abel this way, and Moses, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. Joseph. And all of these, and then it has this little list here in verse 32, and says, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson." And then verse 33, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong." And I don't know if that's speaking of Samson or not, but I want us to focus on that just a little bit in relation to Samson. Remember that phrase, "out of weakness were made strong." Now, most of us probably, when we think of Samson, we think of strength, right? In fact, if I remember correctly, I haven't looked at the Bible stories books here recently, but it seems to me that they usually had him pictured, you know, with some bulge and muscles and big. Is that kind of the way you picture Samson a little bit? The way I've always thought of him, but during our Sunday school lesson, the comment was made that possibly Samson looked like just any other young man, and I think that's probably correct. So we need to think about that. Think about where his strength came from. Because it didn't come from lifting barbells, you know, or doing a workout in the gym. That's not where his strength came from. And so I doubt it showed it didn't come from these powerful muscles. And we want to learn from that, where his power came from. Because our power comes from the same place, the same source that Samson's power comes from. And you young men and you young ladies, when you think of power, when I think of power, I think of power to resist temptation. Appreciate that, devotions. Power to resist temptations. And I know his power was a physical power, but it was his power had the same source as our power has. To resist temptation. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. When I think of young people, what I love to see is clear-eyed, smiling faces. Joy of the Lord. And unfortunately, too often, after I've met we cannot judge by appearance, okay? But too often it turns out correct. Walking away after having met the young person and then visiting a little bit and walking away, and then there's a certain burden. You ever have that? A certain burden comes down upon the heart. And I think that young man is going through something. I think that young man is not making it somewhere. And too many times that turns out to be the case. So it's very real, and of course I remember back to my young, I still experience that at times, failures. But that's where my burden lies. Victory in Jesus. Now Samson, although he was strong in some areas, he was very weak in others. And we're going to notice that too. Was he not? his moral failures. That's what we focused on in the Sunday school lesson. But according to this, Samson, through faith, did something. And I'm picking out that phrase, according to Hebrews 11, I'm picking out that phrase that says, out of weakness we made strong. Because Samson, that happened to him various times. And we're going to look at some, especially one of those times. But it happened various times. When he was walking down to the... He was going where he had no business going, but he was going down. I believe it was his first girlfriend that he had, and to get married. And this lion met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was made strong. So there was various times like that. He cried out to the Lord one time. It says he cried out to the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, something like that. So he was made strong, but especially the last time that God gave him strength, he was out of weakness, was made strong, and that's going to be one of our points here this evening. So from whence came Samson's victories? Where did they come from? Where did Samson get his strength? You know, too often we don't dwell on. Well, I already told you about that lesson. Turn to 1 John. Told you about that Sunday school lesson. I said that, and the lesson was on Samson's failures. I don't know what John would have done with Samson if he had had a Sunday school lesson. You know, the Apostle John. I don't know. But I do know that there's not many verses in the New Testament that are directed specifically to young people. Now, there's a few. And one of them, one that is not directed specifically, unless Timothy was young, but he was, I believe, a leader in the church at Ephesus. But Paul told him, flee youthful lusts. Now that scripture would indicate that there's a kind of lust that pertains primarily to youth. It is true. So that's one that's not directed specifically to youth, unless Timothy would be considered a youth. But flee youthful lusts. But there's another one in Titus that is addressed specifically to youth. And what do you think that one says? Remember? It addresses the sisters first, and it actually says the older ones are supposed to teach the younger ones to be sober. And then it says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And I have noticed that there is an inner strength that tends to abide with sober-minded youth. Have you ever noticed that? There is. And so Paul knew what godly youth. He was telling Titus that. Exhort young men to be sober-minded. Why did he bring that out? First of all to the sisters and then to the young men. Well, that's that because of what frivolousness tends to do with us. I don't know if we'll bring any more of that out later or not. But where I'm going is this. There's few scriptures, there's few New Testament scriptures that are directed directly to young people. Young people do this. But 1 John has one, and we're going to look at that. It's twice in two verses. 1 John 2, verse 13. He writes to the fathers, and he writes to the youth, and he writes to the children. And he does it, he mentions it twice, each one. And notice what he says. He said, I write unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Oh, that's nice. You know, he writes to fathers. So fathers here, you've known the father. There's a source of your strength is knowledge of God. Right? That's where it is. But notice that what he says about the young man. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I like that. Because he didn't say, I write unto you, youth, because I know you're struggling. You're struggling along and you just can hardly make it. Do you feel that way sometimes? Yeah, you don't have to tell me, but I think some of you would say yes. Because we got youth and we don't have to be young to be struggling. But do you feel sometimes you're just not making it? You're just not making it. And you're about ready to give up. Well, he doesn't write to them because they're about ready to give up. He writes to them because they're strong. And so, I like that. Why do I like that? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit later. Source of our power. Now, So how does this all come together? We need to read the next verse. And he just repeats it all with just adding a little bit. So, written unto you fathers, verse 14, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young man, because you are strong, and he adds a little bit, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. I love that. What is John focusing on? Power. Strength. But we're going to look at the source of that strength here pretty soon. So, and we'll come back to this later. 1 John later. Okay, but now for now let's look at the Samson's life and go back to Judges 13. And we're going to look at how faith sprouts in his life, because he by faith subdued kingdoms and would say, out of weakness was made strong through faith. Out of weakness was made strong by faith. That's what Hebrews says. So we're going to look at the sprouting of his faith and where faith culminated in his life. And then we'll look at the time in between and try to pull out some principles for us as young men and young ladies and all of us for being able to overcome in our personal lives. Overcome those sins that we... Because we're setting patterns for our whole life. We are forming habits. And we want to form habits of faith. They're rooted in faith. So that's what we want here this evening. Now, where did Samson's victories come from? Where did his strength, what was the source? Why did God see fit to give a man like Samson power? And I asked the question, why did he keep on giving him power after he did such foolish things? Now it is true that there are three times that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and in a special way. Now they probably happen more often, but there are only three times that Scripture says that this happened. And every one of those was before he committed fornication with the harlot. And maybe that's significant. Maybe it's not. However, he still had a special supernatural strength after that. And God, there was a time when God left Samson, when the power of God was gone. And I would have said, had it been me, I believe he would have gone way before. You know, I don't understand altogether why he didn't leave Samson before that. But I believe it has something to do with faith. Faith. Now, for us, it wouldn't have been the same detail of our faith, but I believe it had something to do with when Samson left his faith. We'll look at that just a little more later. But where did his victories come from? Let's look at when it sprouted His victories, I say faith sprouted in his life before he was born. Not literally, but that's where it started, was before he was born. Judges 13:4. Well, let's start verse 1. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zoar of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine. Drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I believe this is where Samson's faith began in a woman. In the heart of a woman. So, now, obviously, every one of us have to embrace faith for ourselves. And I want to give the wrong idea that mothers can give faith to their children. But I'm making a point here for you mothers especially. I believe this is where Samson's faith sprouted first. And as we go on down in the chapter here in chapter 13 and going down to verse 13, and we're back. No, let's start. Verse 11, after the angel came back, they had prayed that he would come back, and Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. And now notice this sentence right here, this question. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? See? Second, it originated in the heart of a father. A father to be. A father to be. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, verse 13, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat of any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Yes. I believe that father and mother, the father and mother of Samson, Manoah and his wife, did faithfully what they were asked to do. And I see here a picture of years going by. I picture of course it wasn't there, and we don't have it recorded, but we have evidence. I picture a mother, with bedtime stories, and she's here and she's telling little Samson, before you were born, I'm going to tell you what happened. A man of God came along, an angel, and he said that you would be born. And he said that you would be, I don't like to say a special child, they're all special, but you would be used of God when you grew up. And this angel said that you would never eat or drink any grape juice or wine or anything from the vine. And I don't know if there was more than that and never get a haircut. That's what he said. And this represents your life. And you are called of God in a special way to deliver the Philistines when you get older, you see. And I see this happening as he grew up. Go down to later on in the chapter, he says down here in verse 24, the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. And I see between verse 24 and 25, I see back to verse 13, I see 10, 12 years, 12-year-old, kind of like Jesus was when the stirrings of the responsibilities and spiritual responsibilities coming upon him. I don't know how old he was here, but God saw fit to bless this young man. He saw fit. And I don't believe that it was just because of that, because he happened to be born this way. But I believe that, and it could be wrong, but I believe that God blessed him and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him because he learned the faith that his parents had spoken to him. I believe that he knew that he was specially called and he knew that it would be a sin for him to cut his hair. I believe that. Wouldn't have been sin for his cousin, but it would have been sin for him. And so that's what I see going on here. So faith is sprouting. I believe that his parents taught him. And what did they teach him? Did they teach him? Do you believe that his parents taught him that he would have supernatural strength? I doubt it. I like to think that they didn't even know it. That's what I like to think. God gives us not those things we desire in life so much as those He blesses us when we're obedient. And I think that's what was going on here. I see them teaching him to have a life dedicated, life of dedication and obedience to God. And I do not believe, and I have no proof, but I think we can just, it's the scripture's silent on it, so I think we'd probably be safe to, maybe you can find scripture that says otherwise, but probably safe to assume that they had no idea that he was going to be this kind of man when he grew up. And they probably, the first time this happened, they probably went, whoa, what is going on? You know, but I don't know that. But I'm making a point here. Young men and young ladies, we don't aspire to great things. We aspire to dedication to our Lord. Dedication to your parents. Dedication to those things they have taught. And it is when we deviate from the will of God for our lives, that's when we lose the blessing. So, I believe that his strength was very likely not, I wouldn't be strong. I'm out there and I'm exercising out in the gym. No, I don't think so. I don't think that was his focus. But I believe that his focus was passionate dedication to God. Now, his parents obviously missed it somewhere. Because it's not only the bad parents' children who do foolish things, is it? His good parents' children too, but Samson did some very foolish things. But there's something here that I want you to notice that I noticed, but we didn't bring it out in the, or at least it wasn't in this lesson. Something about Samson that really impressed me when I read about it back then. And that was the obvious honor that he had for his parents. And I'm going to look at it here. And that never opened up to me like that before. But I want you young people to think of this and to take lesson. And I believe I'm going to suggest that if he failed in that area, we wouldn't have the story about him in the same way, about his strength. I'm going to suggest that because I believe that that's connected. He honored his parents. And let's look at that. Chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Now, do you see an honoring of parents there? In the deepest sense, no. I believe he was going against. And well, I know he was, let's read another verse. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me. So she pleased me well. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, I don't know how to see all this about how, the Lord, his parents didn't know that God was working this thing out. I do believe that had he honored his parents in a different way, and by not going down there and by marrying someone within his own tribe, yes, I think God would have maybe used him more yet. But the point where I want to bring out is that there was a relationship going on here that many youth do not have with their parents today. I don't know if you know, it's not just here, but we'll see it as we move on. But twice in these verses, there's two in verse 3, well, the first in verse 2, he spoke, so he saw this woman. I don't think he ever thought about marrying this woman without going to his dad. Not just his father. His father and mother. He went back and he talked to them. And in verse 2, maybe you don't think it's significant, but let's move on. And his father and mother said, so look at that, his father and his mother. But we move on. We move on. Verse 6. This one really impressed me and it hit me. Verse 5. As Samson went down, his father and mother. You see that? They went down with him. Now, fathers, I don't see a lot of benefit in you trailing your young man around like this. I don't see this probably wasn't a good... So you want to get married to that worldly woman, so I'll go with you and we'll go get her. But that's what they did. But notice that it mentions not just his father, but his father and mother in verse 5. And came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. Now this is significant right here. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Did you ever think of that? Why does it mention that here?
Well, let's move on.
I don't know why altogether, but we need to move on because I want to make another point here. And so just remember that. He didn't tell his father and his mother. And that's significant to the story. Because as we move on, and we go on down here into, let's see, down in verse 12, Samson said unto them, well, let's see, 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made their feast, for so used the young men to do, and it came past when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it to me within 7 days. And you know that riddle, don't you? We learned it from the Bible story books and so forth. And I never could figure out how they were supposed to get a riddle like that. It just seems so foolish. But maybe there was some reason they should. But here's the deal. Here's the thing that I want you to notice that really impressed me as we think of his relationship with his father and his mother. So, verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Quite a threat. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? Now, I just thought that was amazing. Here he is. He's getting married. And he thinks it would be odd to tell something to his wife that he hadn't told his parents. That's impressive to me. It's quite impressive. A relationship with his parents that I believe speaks of years of nurture and years of faith. Now, faith culminated. We're going to jump years down the road. Probably years anyway. I don't know how long it was. We need to jump down to chapter 16. You know the story, I hope. We're going to skip some of it and come back to it later. Well, probably won't come back to much of this. We're skipping down to chapter 16. But during this time, he had committed fornication. He had gone into another woman there in Delilah. Well, I guess this woman died, was burned. But so he went and found another woman of the Philistines and Delilah, and he ended up getting his hair shaved. And I'd just like to suggest that simple act of disobedience of shaving the hair is when finally God said, this is it. But anyways, not so much that the hair itself was important, but the act of disobedience. Anyway, but we're moving on to chapter 16, when his hair is cut. And he no longer has, he wished not, he didn't know that God had left him. And I think that's often the way it is with us. We don't know. We get self-confident. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, self-confidence. And it's in our self-confidence when God leaves us many times and we don't know it. But we find out because we fail. And so Samson, he goes down there and his hair is cut and he... And he no longer has extra strength. He probably has just the same strength as anyone else had. But he's caught. And his eyes are taken out. And his eyes are taken out. And so he grinds and grinds. And... Let's turn to verse 28, 16, verse 28 here. And Samson, well, okay, so he's down there, let's see, with the Philistines, and he's grinding, grinding their grain. But he has no eyes. And so verse 25, Came to, let's see, when the people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, "Our God hath delivered him our hands into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make a sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon this house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, while Samson made that beheld while Samson made sport. So they mocked him. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me." And I think of this when I think of out of weakness. Besides that time when he came upon the lion, out of weakness is made strong. I think of this. He said, "Pray thee, strengthen me only this once, O God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars, and you know that story, upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with Philistine," and he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew with his life. Faith culminated at his death, I believe. He had faith, the faith that he had before. And for the rest of the message, I want to look at three things. I'll spend maybe 5-10 minutes, I trust, at three, or maybe it'll be a little bit more because I want to sing a song here. three points that brought him victory, Samson's victory. Let's all stand and sing a song here to wake up a little bit. Maybe just a verse or so, or if you care to stand, you may. Number 211. Trust and obey. Do we have a pitch for that? It's F. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with awe we'll trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You may be seated. All right, for a few thoughts in closing, we'll look at three points that were the source of Samson's victories, and they are the same that we have today. Of course, it was faith. They all come from faith. And the first one we already noticed, and it was a passionate dedication to his God. I believe that. And I believe if you were to read about the life of Samson, we would admit that. And so let's think of that just a little bit in relation to our lives. Turn to Ephesians 4. Young people, I'd like for us to think of ourselves. Do we have a dedication to be obedient, to trust and obey in those simple areas that we know? Do we have that? We know that we should be reading our Bibles, studying Scripture, having our devotions daily. We know that, don't we? Do we do it? Very simple. The source of our strength. we know that our connection with God, hopefully tomorrow sometime we'll speak about that, worship. We know that that's where our strength comes from. Don't we? Do we do that? What do we do first thing we get up in the morning? What do we think about? Just a challenge to you, young people. Set your lives into habit, form, and way. What do we read? We know that there are books that will strengthen us spiritually. And there are some that will weaken us. Very possibly, if you read romance novels, very possibly someone has told you that's going to weaken you. And you didn't believe it, or didn't want to believe it. What do you do about that? Or over here. What we look at. What we dwell on. Our thoughts. What we listen to. Music. Well, I won't be talking about music this weekend. One of my favorite subjects. But I want you to think about this, young people. The habits of music that you get into listening to, they have an effect on your life. They do. They play a role. You know, our whole life. Our lives are just a rounded out picture. They're not. You know, it's not usually one little thing unless we're specifically being disobedient. But it's our lives are rounded out picture to where the every little thing will contribute or detract. And Samson was too, even though there was finally a time when God left him. And that can happen to us. But music, the type of music, there is a type that convicts. And there's a type that soothes. There's a place for both of them. But when there's sin in our lives, which one should we be using? Or when there's and then there's a frivolous. There's a frivolous and a light music. Anyway. But what do I want out of Ephesians 4? Relationships. Relationships. We talked about Samson's relationship with his parents. And here we are, probably about, I don't know how many people we are here tonight. From what Dan said, it's less than it had been. But it's a number of people. And you all have relationships, one with another. Some of you more with others. But our relationships have so, so much to do with our source of power. And we need to dedicate. We need to be dedicated to our relationships. And we need to be dedicated to the right ones. I mean, it's okay to have a lot of back and forth and with our peers and all. But it's not okay to do so at the expense of others. You see, relationships. Or at the expense of the relationship between you and your father and your mother. You and your father and your mother. I mean, just over and over in our experience we have seen that so often when there is a lack of victory in the life of a young man or a young woman, so often over and over, if you will find that there is bitterness towards mom or dad. You ever notice that? So often. And it's usually the parents' fault. At least by, and it may be. But I'm just challenging you. We have a choice, young people. We have a choice. Because our power and our strength comes from these relationships. Let's just read a verse here. Maybe it'll have to be two verses, 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Why to read that verse? Because it's speaking about relationships. And it's speaking about the source of our power. The source of, one of the source of our power. I know we get direct from God. God must be with us. But we get the source of our power from our head very often. We get it from our relationships. God opens the doors of grace through our brother and our sister. And so if we go through life and we believe that we are the center of everything and everybody needs to, you know, my wife and I are talking about on the way up here, it just seems like so often when there is a gripe, it's about what somebody did to me, you see. Why is that? You know, because I'm self-centered. That's why. But we have a choice, young people. We have a choice whether to think that way or not. Or whether to begin to have an appreciation for what people did for us. Even when they tried to help us and it was misguided, and this is our evaluation, and they did it wrong, and they were harsh, and they were unkind, you know what? We can form a warm appreciation that they loved us enough to try. And we can see God not in spite of it, but in it. Yes, we can. We can see God in our parents and our brothers and our sisters, not just in spite of them. Too often our attitude is, I am at peace in spite of it. No, if it's in spite of them, we're probably not at peace. We need to see God in them, or in the way they relate. Well, that's enough. I thought I was going to be done about now. That's dedication. Dedication. The second point is where Samson's victories come from. I believe this one is very, very important. Is his victories came, his greatest victory. He slew more people in his death than in his whole life. And his greatest victory finally came when he lost confidence in his own strength. In his own self, you see. I think there for a while he was just coasting. Yeah, I believe he was brought up and to honor his parents. I believe he was brought up to dedicate his life to God and to not drink wine, to not cut his hair. And after a while it just became a form. And God was always there, you know, when he bailed him out time after time. I believe he was coasting spiritually for many of those years until finally God left him. And it took that. You know, there's a song that impressed me recently. Does Jesus Care? Is that one in here? Does Jesus Care? And I just want us to notice that here briefly. Does Jesus Care? 286 in a church hymnal. You know, there's afflictions here, one thing after another, but one that really impressed me was in verse 3, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When God's power has left us, could it be, young people, could it be that sometimes when we have failed, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this or not, probably some time in your life where there's something you just do not want to do again. But you are addicted and you fail again. Here it is. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. That doesn't sound like power, does it? It doesn't to me. Does Jesus care? Yes. But I want to make a suggestion. I think we need to look at those failures different. Could it be sometimes we have failed because God has left us, and He has left us at that time out of an act of mercy to get our attention? I believe that's what happened to Samson. He did not know that the Lord had left him. What was the... And it's God's mercy. It would have been unrealistic for God to keep staying there. God was getting his attention. Now he got it in a way a lot stronger than we would like to see. I would like to think that he kept his eyes, but he didn't. And I like to think that you would keep your eyes. But if God allows you to fail, where you least want to fail, to commit that sin, could it be that it's a way of God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, listen, you know, so often our addictions are symptoms and not the real thing. So often. And we need to be thinking about that, young people. Addictions, many times, the things that we repeatedly fail in, they are not the real issue. They are symptoms of another deeper issue. It may be a relationship issue. It may be. But for some reason, God has left us. And it may be His act of mercy. But we need to move on. It's just happening that the time is moving away, and I have another point after this one. But this point, when he came to grips with his self, with his own weakness. And, you know, self-confidence, young people, is an obstacle to our victory. And I'm going to tell you something. I know a story, and a young man, let's just see if we can learn something from this story. Young man came to a church. It wasn't ours, but I know the young man, I know the church. And he applied for membership. I'm thinking he was probably 20, 21 years old. And he was a pretty good Christian. Pretty good Mennonite young man. Dressed nice, you know. He was pretty conservative, pretty plain, you know. All this good stuff. So when he applied for membership, well, he told the ministry there, he said, but I've got this little issue. I got this little issue in my, you know, this little problem in my life. And I'm not having victory in. Yeah, but it's okay, you know. It's not very severe. Well, his ministry told him that we're going to take that seriously. Before you're going to be a member here, you need to find victory in that. Well, no problem. Well, here's what happened. This little problem only became a monster when he faced it. That's when it became a monster. And it became much worse and much greater an addiction. And he could not get over it. And he finally threw up his hands and I don't know what all he did. I can imagine him falling down on the ground. I don't know what all he did, but he gave up and he told his minister, he said, and I was listening to this brother telling me this here recently. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, the next time I'm getting tempted, he said, I'm just going to give you a call. When that temptation comes upon me one more time, I'm going to give you a call. Before I sin. And he said, I never got that call. Now, you think, well, he never got victory. No. Praise God! That's when the monster fled. That's when Satan left for him. Now, it may be different for you. Satan left when he realized that he couldn't make it. And he decided, I'm going to reach out to the provisions that God has given me. And I know I've seen it over and over. I used to ask the young man, have you been fasting about this? Nah, you know, it's kind of, what's going on? How serious are we about our sins? You see what I'm saying? So this young man, when he reached out, Satan fled. Yeah, I could tell you more stories. They're similar to that. But that's probably the most dramatic one. But let me see. I have something, a note on another one here. Let's see where that is. I probably don't need it. I don't have time for it anyways. Yeah. There is a real, I mentioned fasting, there is a real danger of legalism. In getting over some of our addictions. And I just want to throw out a warning. I don't know where you stand as a congregation. I don't know how you deal with some of these things. But I just want to throw out a warning. There are very carnal methods of dealing with sin or with addictions. Very carnal. And legalism can come in there very quickly if our focus is not where it ought to be. Fasting is good. Guidelines are good. But just a little warning. Those guidelines must be founded upon our weakness and not our strength. You get it? Do you know the difference, young people? Do you know the difference? Do you know why you don't go into bookstores? It's not because they're so strong, it's because they're weak. That's why you don't go into them bookstores. So your guidelines that you get, and parents that you, and ministers that you give to your... they must be founded upon our weakness because... And I was going to turn this... Oh, you got to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 because 1 Corinthians 12, just three times I think it is, Paul mentions that, you know, he mentions that he glories in his infirmities, and that simply means weakness. And then the third time he says it this way in verse, where is it? In 1 Corinthians 12 he says, although I wonder if it's 2 Corinthians 12 because I'm not seeing it here. I believe it must be 2 Corinthians 12. I must have failed to write it down. Yeah, he says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, and that infirmity means weakness. Weakness of soul or body. In reproaches. What? He takes pleasure in reproaches? Now, take pleasure means to be well pleased. He's well pleased with the reproach. You know what reproach is? Literally, what we would say, it's a misnomer, but we say that I was offended by what he said. That's what this reproach means, the way we would use it. We would call it offended. I was offended by what he said. The Greek word is hubris, and it means that hurts resulting from someone else's insolence. You know, someone else's crude way of talking to us. Hurts. We're offended. But he says, I am well pleased with being offended. Why? I don't see a self-centered person here. Do you? It's your choice, young people. It's your choice whether you're going to get offended real easy or not. You know, he said this wrong, he did that, she did. You know, listen, it's your choice. But he says, I'm well pleased with those things and the necessities, needs in my life. Oh, I have this need. I hate it. See, we focus too much on the need, and we just center around that old sin and that old need, and I'm so weak, and we just look at it. I think Satan is getting so much glory at this. But Paul turns it around and says, I am well pleased with my needs. Why? Here's why. Because that's when I'm strong. The source of our strength is the same as Samson. And it was when his eyes were gouged out and he got spiritual insights and long-range eternal vision. I'm just assuming some things here, but I believe that that's why his strength was able to come and bless in a way, in a more powerful way than he did his whole life. Now listen, he has self-confidence is an obstacle to victory. The thing about Samson, I'm thinking now, and I know we thought about his former years, but now let's think about his years sitting in that jail, wherever he was. Probably didn't need jail. He was blind, but grinding that. And have you ever heard, I don't personally know many blind people, I've met them, but they say that when they cannot see, they begin to develop other senses. You know that? I think that's exactly what happened with Samson. I believe when he didn't have the physical eyesight, he began to develop the spiritual eyesight, you see. Well, I'm not keeping my promise here, am I? So, spiritual vision. Let's move on. The third one we have here is that his spiritual... So, yeah, we had passionate dedication. His faith was expressed. His power come from dedication. His faith was expressed. His power come from from recognizing his weakness, his own weakness, and finally, from his spiritual faith vision sharpened. And I had that one there too. I think we'll just end with 1 John 2. 13-17. We read 13-14. We'll just finish reading and then I think I'll close. (Clears throat) Maybe you just have a song at the end, and then we can just pray that, that we'll just close a regular way tonight. John, 1 John 2:13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Okay, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you're strong. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world. Why is that there? I want to end with that. A spiritual vision for you young people. Why does he go from that? I write unto you because you're strong and you've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world. Love not the world. Huh. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world what? Passeth away. Everything that this eye can see, everything that Samson's physical eye could see, is going to go. And the lust thereof, your desire for them, is going to go. The desire for the power stroke, you don't like power strokes. I don't even know what they are today, you know. But that desire is going to go. Whatever pretty things you want. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to leave you. That is what I want. Young people, I don't know what you want. I want to abide forever. Let's sing a song.